We're going to look at, last week we looked at if you abide in me. And so we just looked at that first part about us abiding in Christ. And today we're going to look at his word abiding in us. And so we need to just focus on that part today, his word abiding in us. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for giving us your word. We really do not understand how important that is, and we thank you for it. Open our eyes and our hearts today to grab onto the word and really have a reverence for it, and that you have given us absolute truth and a guide for our life, a light that literally lights our spiritual path as we walk through this life of deception, this life of confusion, this world that's just trying so hard, and oftentimes it gets us down. But Lord, your word is the anchor. Your word is what sustains us. Your word is what really is the incorruptible seed that saves our soul. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for that. So today, as we look at it and try just to get a handle on how important it is to have your word abide in us, we should be seeking that desperately for our lives. So, Lord, just help us to get a glimpse of the reverence that we need for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so just real quick, the 3 points that we had last week, we had 3 main points, and these points don't really necessarily line up with the outline of my sermon, so don't think that that's really how it rolled, but we had 3 points that we were talking about. And the first point was man's purpose, the purpose of man, is to glorify the Father. In a nutshell, that is really what our life is about, is to bring glory to the Father. And you know, and we've got life that goes on. We just have life. You know, we've got jobs, we've got just everything. But the overarching purpose of our life is to bring glory to God. And that's it. That's really what it all comes down to. So last week, if you remember, we talked about, and we're talking about Christians here. We aren't talking about really non-Christians because they aren't going to bring glory to God. So, and I want to encourage you that even if you're here today and you're lost, your life is still supposed to bring glory to God. You just have to get into his family first. So, but that's a whole, you know, we'll get there. So we talked about the Christian last week, about the Christian that was over here. And the Christian over here is a Christian that got saved and, okay, I've got my ticket punched. I'm going to heaven, but I really don't want to do anything else. I don't want to submit to God's word. I don't really want to. I want to do it my way. And, you know, I'll go to church, I'll give or whatever, you know, and you can put anything in there you want. But it's just a Christian that's just kind of here doing the thing, you know. And then on the other side of the spectrum, on the far end of the spectrum, we have the John 15, 7, and 8 Christian that is totally sold out, that they're in Christ, the Word is in them, they are disciples of Christ, they are bringing fruit to the Father, and by that, they're glorifying the Father, and that's all they want to do with their life is totally be sold out for Jesus. And whatever they do with their life, they want it to be producing fruit for Jesus Christ. So you've got the John 15, 7 Christian, you've got the lukewarm Christian, or the cold Christian, and then in the middle where a lot of us sit is the lukewarm Christian, because that's the day we live in. And you know what Revelation says about that, and we talked about that last week, but that just basically says, Jesus goes, look, you're making me sick. You aren't cold, you're not hot, I'm just going to vomit you out. And that's just what it says in Revelation. So, and that's what we kind of rolled this Christian out last week for us, and we'll kind of hit on that again as we go through the second part of it. And the second point last week that we looked at is that worship and glorifying the Father, that is just our reasonable service. So, to be over here, and I know what you think. Lacey, those are some nice boots. I like those. So over here on this side, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, look, that is outrageous. That is outrageous that we would have to be a sold out Christian to live our life fully dedicated to bringing God glory. Well, the Bible says that's just our reasonable service in Romans. That's our reasonable service. So when you think about it, Christ died for us. God loves us, sent his son. Christ died for us. And we will say, look, God, thank you. I believe in you. I received the free gift. Yes, I'm saved. But all that other stuff, I don't want any part of it. I don't want to be a Jesus freak. But over here, it's just our reasonable service. If this is just the reasonable service to be a John 15:7 Christian, bringing fruit and fruit that remains, if that's our reasonable service, as God says, what does he say about this? What would God say about my life when I'm over here, when I'm walking over here? God, I'm going to do it this today. I'm doing it my way. I'm not doing it your way. I'm doing it my way. I'm going to live in the book of Judges right here. I'm going to step out into the wilderness without you, and I'm going to live life the way I want to. What does Jesus say about that? If this is our reasonable service over here, and here he wants to spew us out of his mouth, what does he say about these folks? I don't know. And then the third thing was, abiding is deliberate. And that may have been the key thing that we really needed to take away last week. If you're going to be over here, I would say on this side of the room, but there's more people on this side of the room. So I don't know, maybe everybody wants to sit on this side. I don't know. But I'll just say right up. So if you want to do that, if you want to be a John 15:7, it's deliberate. You've got to make a choice. I want to do that. And you've got to take steps to do that. You've in your mind, you have to be in Christ. The word has to be in you, and you have to deliberately and disciplinedly be over here. And whatever it takes, you've got to be here. And we looked at 7 examples last week from the Old Testament. I'm not going to review those. I just want to, just real quickly, I'll give them to you, but I'm not going to rehash them. So the first one was obedience. The second one, this is out of order, but the second one we looked at was reliance, where they called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham was the obedient one. The third one was that Peter was, it was the word of God is sustenance for him. He totally relied on the word of God. That's what brought him life. The next one was Daniel's sanctification. If you're going to be over here, you're going to be sanctified. The fifth one was Ruth's resolve to seek God's face. No matter where she had to go, she was seeking the face of God. The next one was Ezra's prepared heart. He was prepared to seek God's word. He was prepared to do God's word. And he was prepared to make disciples of Jesus Christ because he was going to teach in Israel. And then the last one we looked at was Jesus, that he was about the Father's business. And so those 7 things that we looked at, those characteristics that we looked at last week that you can line your life up against to determine whether or not I'm over here are just some, you know, just 7 things that I pulled up out of the Word that God gave to me. And just ask yourself the question, does my life line up with those? And so let's go on to God's Word abiding in us. Now, the wording of this is in the way this is phrased, all this is very important because it says, if the first part, if ye abide in me. Now, if you're saved, if you get saved, God abides in you. The question is never about if Jesus Christ is abiding in you. Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up a permanent residence, he seals your soul, and he will not leave you no matter what happens in your life. No matter what you do, where you go, it does not matter. The Holy Spirit will not leave you. You are always saved. So it's not a question of Jesus Christ being in you. The question is, Are you abiding in him? That was the first question that he asked. Are we abiding in Christ? And we looked at that last week. The second thing is his words abiding in us. So I want you to think about this, because there is a difference between abiding in God's word and his word abiding in us. I can take God's word and I can be in God's word and I can read God's word and I can every day and I can just read and read and read and read. But that doesn't necessarily mean that God's word is in me. I may not be receiving it. I might have a cold heart. I might have a hard heart. I might have a heart full of sin. And I would be reading God's word, but God's word is not getting in through that hard, stony heart that I've got. And so it really comes down to, is my heart, and we'll look at this, is my heart humble? Am I coming to God seeking truth? And am I really wanting for the truth of God's word to be in me? So you can get in God's word, but is God's word in you? Is God's word in me? Because if it's in me, it's going to be doing something. And that's just the truth of it. If God's word is in you, because you got the Holy Spirit if you're saved, if God's word is in you, something's happening. I guarantee it. Because God is in the business of changing lives. God does not want us to stay here. He does not want us to stay in the middle where it makes his son, Jesus Christ, sick. He wants us to be over here bringing him glory. And so he is in the business of changing lives, changing communities for his glory. He is not a lazy God. He is not a vengeful God. He's going to deal with sin. But he loves us. And he is in the business of changing lives. In the business of changing lives. So let's expand let me give you a few verses on both sides of this. Go back up to John 15:5. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And that's what we're talking about here, bringing forth fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And so if we're not abiding in Christ, we're not bearing fruit. And we looked at that last week. So we have to be in Christ. And then verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth like a branch and is withered, and men gather them up and cast them into the fire. Okay, now, really, I just wanted you to look at 14:5. So no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we try to bring fruit, no matter how hard we try to glorify God, no matter how hard we try to live a Christian life that we think is good, if we're not abiding in Christ, it's not going to happen. All that work will absolutely do nothing if we're not abiding in Christ. John 15:9 says this, as the Father had loved me, Jesus Christ speaking here, so have I loved you. So if you think about that, as the Father loved the Son, how much, I mean, we can't even quantify that. How much the Father loves the Son. The Bible goes on to say that in the same sentence, so have I, Jesus Christ, loved you. So listen, church, if you think, when you say, look, I don't really think that God loves me that much, that is a lie. You're just lying. And you've been deceived because he loves you. Jesus Christ loves you as much as the Father loves him. As the Father loved him, so he loves us. And God loves us because he sent his Son to rescue our wicked soul. Now it goes on. Continue, same word that we use for abide. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. So this hinges around keeping his commandments. And the commandments are found where? In the Word of God. So if you say you love God, And if you say, look, I love Jesus with all my heart, but if we're not keeping his word, and this is the connection, if we're not keeping his word, then we really don't. So you have to tie this together, because if you want to be over here and you want to bring fruit and you want to glorify the Father, and we say, well, I love Jesus, but if we're not keeping his word, if we're not guarding his word, then we really don't. We really don't. That's what the Bible says. We really don't love Jesus the way we say we do if we're not keeping his word. And it's not a sense of like the Jews did in the Old Testament, where we have to struggle like the law, where we keep it and keep it and keep it in a sense of doing and doing and doing. But think of it more as a guarding. Because this is where our life's at. If this was a tank of oxygen, think of it this way. If this is a tank of oxygen and you have to have the oxygen to live, and we would, you would guard that thing with your life, because this is where your life's at. It is here. You would love that tank of oxygen. I told a girl one time, I was at work on a Saturday and I was out in the shop, and this is probably one of the funniest things I ever did. Anyway, in my eyes, you probably think it's cruel, but anyway, she was probably, you know, 6 or 7, and she had one of those bubble wraps. So in the shop, they have these bubble wraps where they used to wrap things up and for shipping. And you know how we like to pop them. Even adults like to pop them. Everybody else is annoyed with it, unless if you're doing it. But it, you know, and if somebody else is doing it, then you're annoyed with them. But it's just fun to pop those things. And she was running around the shop popping them. I'm trying to think and do whatever I was doing. It was annoying the daylights out of me. So I told her, I'm like, hey, do you know what those are for? And she's like, well, I don't know, whatever. And I'm like, that's where we store the oxygen, because one of these days the planet's going to run out and this is where we're going to get our oxygen from. She's like, really? I'm like, absolutely. And she ran off. I don't know if she kept doing it or not. But if it was, it's, of course, you know, I guess that was a sin because I lied to her, but, you know, I thought it was funny. So you got to keep it. That's what he's talking about. When you guard it, it's truth. This is what keeps us rolling. The word, and it, we have to be in the word, and it has to be in us. So that's this love, this second part of that in 15:10 is that we have to keep his commandments. In John 14:15, it kind of reverses the structure of that, but it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Staying in the word. We have to abide in God's word. That's the key. So, all right, well, let's get down to this. There's three things that I told you that we were going to look at. And the first one is, God's word is to the renewing of the mind and sanctifying of the walk. And these three things that I'm going to give to you here, these three things I will contend or assert that if you don't have them in your life, you won't be fruit-bearing. You won't be fruit-bearing. But I also want to put it this way. If you're not in the Word, if you're not in the Word and you're not abiding in the Word, you won't have these three things. So it's kind of a building block. If you have the Word, you will have these three points that we've got, and you'll be fruit-bearing. The second one would be, God's Word is growing a faith and strengthening of the soul. And the last thing is, God's word orders my steps and directs our path. So I don't think we'll get to 2 and 3 today, which will be fine. But let's look at the first one. God's word is renewing of the mind and sanctifying of the walk. And so what we're going to do is we're going to roll down 9 words. We're going to roll down through 9 words. These words come right out from the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and it is producing things in your life because you're in the Word, you should be over here, fruit-bearing. Because if the Spirit is bearing fruit in your life to bear fruit for the Father, you should be right here. So we'd be in good shape. So let's roll down. So when we go through these, kind of like last week, measure these to your life. Or actually, let's turn that around. Measure your life to these. That's really what you want to do. We want to measure our life to these nine things. And if you do these nine things, or not do them, but if these nine things are present in your life, you should be bearing fruit. The first one is love. If you have love in your life, the fruit of the Spirit, if you have love in your life, love will cast out fear. And you know, if you have fear in your life, fear will freeze you wherever you are. That's what fear does. It'll take you right where you are, and it will freeze you, and you will be unable to move, in the direction that God wants you to go. It's like the lion. When the lion roars, the prey freezes like that, and while he's froze, he jumps. If we are fearful of society, if we're fearful of our job being lost, if we're fearful of catching some disease, if we're fearful, whatever it is, it will freeze the Christian in their tracks. Think about COVID, and I don't even like talking about this, but think about how the church has been frozen, not necessarily New Life, but as a whole. And some churches have gotten through it, but a lot of churches have just the idea of catching a virus has frozen people, churches, in their tracks because of fear. Fear of going out in your neighborhoods because you're afraid of getting shot. In some places, probably not in Clinton. Fear of growing old. Fear of not knowing something. Fear of losing my retirement. Fear of going on a mission trip. Fear of getting in the ministry. Fear of, you can just put anything in there you want. It will freeze you up where you are not able to serve God and bring fruit. But love casteth out fear. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So if we have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, if we're submitting to God and we're reading His Word and we're being strengthened by God's Word, then we will be producing fruit. But if we're frozen by fear because the love is not in us, then we won't be producing fruit. The second one is joy. Joy is something that sometimes we get confused with happiness. But it comes from abiding with God and abiding in His Word. And I want to give you a verse on this. Psalm 16:11. Now, I know it's just coincidence, but it happens to be 16:11. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness. Now, don't miss this. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be bringing fruit to the Father, we have to be able to see the path of life, and we have to be in the presence of God to find the fullness of joy. If my life is just, man, I'm just such a victim. Everybody wants to just dump a truck of garbage on me. Everything that happens in this, every day, something just terrible happens to me. What do you say? It's just a mess. My life is a disaster. You see them. They're everywhere. Christians that have just been, life is just terrible. I don't even know why I'm here. But the truth back here in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So all you got to do, Travis, is when you see me down like that and all jacked up and I'm whining the blues, having a self-pity party, go, you're not in the presence of God, Tom. You're just not in His presence. You've walked away. You're not abiding in His Word. His Word is not abiding in you. Now get over yourself. And you can say that to me, Travis. I'd be okay with that. I'd probably be like, you're right. You're right. I'm a mess. I need to find my way back to Jesus. And so you're like, look, Tom, I think you're oversimplifying this whole thing. All right, only you can take that up with God. Don't talk to me about it, because that's what He said. At thy right hand, it goes on to say, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now, doctrinally, let's think about that for a second. If you want to bring fruit to the Father, you know what happens, really? Okay, let's be real practical. You know why a lot of us don't bring fruit to the Father? You know why a lot of us don't disciple, get into disciple, I mean really biblical discipleship? You know why a lot of us don't really get all fired up about Jesus? Because we're not in His presence, and we don't understand, we don't grab onto that there are pleasures at His right hand forevermore. That's talking for us. The pleasures are in heaven at His right hand that are eternal. And just that alone, if you want joy, not happiness, but joy in your life, and your focus, Colossians 3:1-3, you know, seek and set, and get your mind right, that set is get your mind right, then we have to be focused on the pleasures that God has for us, bringing Him glory forevermore. Number three, peace. Peace is for those that love God's Word. Oh, that's pretty rude, isn't it? Now you're just being exclusive. Peace is for those that love God's Word. That's why it's so important that God's Word abides in us. All right, Psalms 119, 165. Look at that. Psalms 119, 165. Listen, and I know you're like, well, what does this have to do with discipleship? Well, this is the foundation. This is the foundation of discipleship. You notice we haven't talked about lessons. We haven't talked about, you know, the process of discipleship, the mechanics of discipleship, and we won't. Because what we want to come away with in 3 weeks is, are we abiding in Christ? If you are not abiding in Christ, there is no reason. If I'm not abiding in Christ, there is no reason to even have a discipleship program. You know, a discipleship, because it's about being in Christ. And yes, we have to grow into that. And yes, it takes time for that. But if, as a church body, if we're not focused, this is where we're going with discipleship, is to get people abiding in the Word, in abiding in Christ and His Word abiding in us. If we lose sight of that, we're not discipling. We're doing something else. But we have to get people to abide in Christ and His Word to abide in them. And if we're doing that, these are the things that you'll see in our lives. Peace is for those that love God's Word. 119, 165. Great peace. Great. God says great. He means that. If He didn't mean great, He wouldn't say great. Great peace have they which love thy law. Think about that. Do you love God's Word? Well, of course I do. It's Sunday and I'm in church. So yes, I have to say yes. I love God's Word. Do you have peace in your life? No, I don't have joy in my life either. But I don't know if those two even go together. But I don't have joy and I don't have peace. Well, you're not in God's presence and you really don't love His Word. That's just the way it goes, because that's what it says. And nothing, okay, now Christians, I'm going to say this, I'm going to read it just like it says in the Word, and if you are offended by this, then let it be so. Great peace have they which love thy Word, and nothing shall offend them. Boy, howdy. Thin-skinned Christians. Howdy, thin-skinned Christians. Your thin gets, if you just logically think through it, your skin gets thicker the more in the Word you are. I always say this. Christians need to have skin like a pig and a heart like clay. Skin like a pig and heart like clay. Clay like soft and moldable so Jesus can work with it. But if you're offended by the littlest thing, Christians, great peace have they which love thy word, thy law. Number four, long-suffering. Now remember, this is all fruit of the Spirit. And so, you know, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We're supposed to be submitting to the Spirit. And that's the fruit of the Spirit in God's, in your life, God working in our life. These things are going to come out of us. These things are coming out of our life, out of our pores, out of our walk, out of our talk, out of our thoughts. If we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and we're in the Word and it's abiding in us, these things are coming out. Long-suffering is ministered to those that need grace. My friend, Mr. Scholes, preached on long-suffering not too long ago. And I took away from that something very important, is that if we're not long-suffering, and we don't have time to deal with people's problems, we're not ministering. Long-suffering is key to the ministry. Long-suffering is ministered to those that need grace. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. And this will convict our hearts to the core, I tell you. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. And we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Now let me hold up here for a second, because the Bible says, look, you need to have the mind of Christ, which is what? Which is this, right? This is the mind of Christ. And if we're to have the mind of Christ, the only way to get the mind of Christ is by putting the mind of Christ in us. Abide, let his word abide in you. We abide in his word abides in us. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ in us. But is long suffering, and we're supposed to have the ministry that God gave to us is the ministry of reconciliation, right? Now look, if we're not long suffering, if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, then we're not going to be long suffering. And if we're not long suffering, then we're not going to live out 2 Peter 3:9. So we have already fallen short of bringing the glory to God if we're not in the Word, submitting to the Holy Spirit, because we won't have long-suffering in our life. And if we don't have long-suffering in our life, according to the Holy Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning the promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, to usward, not willing that any should perish. And the reason that he's long-suffering is he's allowing people more time that they might get saved. That is long-suffering. God's long-suffering. Why didn't he just come back and straighten all this out? Because he is long-suffering. And if we question his long-suffering when we say those things, then we don't understand God. We just want, well, let's just get rid of all those criminals or whatever, you know. God, come down and straighten all these people out. Maybe God has a plan for them. God wants them to see him get saved. I mean, praise the Lord, he didn't take me out when I was 29 because I was still lost. He was long-suffering one more year until I got saved. And then he's still long-suffering with me. Not that any should perish, but that they all should come to repentance. All? He just keeps waiting. Long-suffering. We can't minister without being long-suffering. We won't be fruit-bearing if we're not long-suffering. We won't be fruit-bearing. We won't be long-suffering if God's word is not abiding in us. If God's word is not abiding in us, we are not disciples of Christ. The next one. Gentleness. Gentleness. 2 Timothy 2:24. Oh, yeah. 2 Timothy 2:24. I remember growing up, I'd go to church on Sundays, and I went to this Baptist church, and it was a small town, and so usually the preachers that we got in this small town was usually preachers on their last church retiring, or preachers right out of seminary, and so they didn't stay around long, because they'd either retire, you know, if they were good preachers, and they'd go on to a bigger church or whatever. But we had this one guy, and I don't really remember what his name was. I think maybe Pastor Parsons or something like that. But he was older, and he was an old school preacher, man. I mean, this guy was, he was crazy. And my mom didn't like him, but he was completely bald, and he would sweat profusely. And it didn't matter if it was summer or winter, and he always had a, you know, like a handkerchief, and he's always wiping his head, man, and just because he was just sweat. And he would just be beaten on the pulpit, and he was always preaching hellfire. He was an old school King James hellfire and brimstone preacher, and just, I loved that guy. And I sit under him for, you know, however long he was there, and I believed everything he said. I really did, but I didn't get saved. And, but man, I just, you know, those preachers, you don't find those very often anymore, those guys that are sweating profusely and wiping their head off. Anyway, let's go on. Okay, so gentleness in 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Gentle unto all men. So if we're striving with people, we're not being gentle. And if we're striving, the Holy Spirit is not, we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life. And think about it. We're trying to bring fruit to the Father. We're trying to evangelize people. We're trying to disciple people. We're trying to, you know, whether they're lost or saved, we're trying to tell people how much God loves them. And at the same time, they see us or hear us, or maybe we're striving with them. How does that work out for us? It just doesn't. It doesn't work. So if we're striving with people, we're not fruit-bearing. You know what I mean? These are things that we have to get down, and it only happens when we submit our lives to the Holy Spirit and allow the Word of God to be in us, dwell in us richly. The next one, goodness. Now, this is a cool one. If you search this word out in the Bible, goodness is almost always comes from God. Sometimes goodness is talked about the goodness that man doesn't have, But the only source of goodness is from God. Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Now, how in the world did they get full of all knowledge? It's because the Word is abiding in them. It's because they're abiding in Christ. And they're full of goodness because Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is living in them. And they're submitting to that. And their life is just radiating the goodness of God. They're gentle, they're long-suffering, and this goodness is just bubbling out of them, ministering to other people. And Paul says, look, I'm persuaded of that. Are people persuaded that goodness is coming out of our life? Or do we just have to keep telling them, look, I'm really a good person. This goodness is really coming out of me. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, look, I'll keep talking to you about it. That goodness is only going to come when they see it. Do they see long-suffering in our lives? Do they see gentleness? Do they see joy? Travis, I'm not going to ask you about the joy in my life. Probably after today, Travis will call me. It's like, Tom, you're going to have to get that straightened out. Goodness. Goodness is only found in God. Faith. faith. Romans 10, 17. We know this verse. I'll just read it to you. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is proportional. I mean, not maybe directly, but it's some type of proportionality to the hearing of God's word. So if God's word, and not just hearing it, but it's got to be received. If you hear God's word, you receive God's word, your faith is going to grow. That's why you're like, look, I read the word. Okay, fine. But are you in God's word? Is God's word in you? Because if it is, that faith is going to grow. And the trials of your life is going to exercise that faith. Fruit bearing. I don't know. I just don't know if I can fruit bear or not. Where's your faith? Where's my faith? No word. Let's boil it down. No word, no faith. No word, no faith. The word's not in me. Well, you don't have any faith. You're just going about doing it your own way. I'm ministering my own way because I have faith in who? Me. Not in Jesus. I have faith in me. I'm doing it my way. Well, you know where you are on the spectrum? You're right here. You're right here. You're far away from fruit bearing as the combine then is in December. Or May, or whenever they shouldn't be out in the field, right here. Some farmers are still in the field in December. You're not getting any fruit. You're not bringing any fruit to the Father. But, how would I write down here? But abiding in the Word is abounding in faith. Abiding in the Word is abounding in faith. It's proportional. I want to be fruit-bearing. Meekness, 1 Peter 3:15. Be sanctified, the Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Meekness. Meekness and fear, humility. And temperance, the last one, temperance, is disciplined. Characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, temperance. It's a disciplined submission to God's will, not your own. That's really what temperance is. It's a disciplined submission to the will of God. Let me read you a verse on that. It's 2 Peter 1:5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. It comes after. And to knowledge, temperance. So you're adding this knowledge, you're adding this will, disciplined submission to God's will, because you know, and to patience, goodness, the godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are in you, we will not be unfruitful. We will be fruitful. We will be fruitful. Well, let's wrap this up. Like I told you, we definitely didn't get to the last two. I want to take you to one verse and we'll wrap up. Turn over to Psalms chapter 1. And next week, we're going to be a little more practical with this. So, Psalms chapter 1. You know, I alluded to these verses last week. So, today we're going to wrap up with verse 2. Next week, we'll wrap up with verse 3. But I just want to wrap this up today. Because if the word is abiding in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And so the question really is, do I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Psalms 1, verse 2. But his delight, and look, I'm gonna take the liberty a little bit here and just put your name in there. You can just, you can, when I read, when I say his, you just think of your name. But his delight, your delight, if it is in the law of the Lord. Now, I want you to, I'm gonna get a little, just a little picky with this. It's in the law of the Lord. It's not about the law of the Lord. It's in the law of the Lord. When you're in something, you're like submerged in it. It's not just knowing about God. It's not, okay, I know a lot of things about God's Word. That's not my delight. The delight is when I'm in God's Word. When I'm like submerged. Not like just getting a lot of it, but when I'm part of it. And let me give you an example of this. I was in the Navy. And there's two types of sailors. There's the sailors on the surface and the sailors that are not on the surface. Sailors on the surface are on the sea. They're at sea. Sailors on submarines, they're in the sea. That's the difference. One of them you don't see. One of them is part of the ocean. The other ones, like I was, were just on the surface. Not to take anything away from surface sailors, but that's the difference. So his delight is in the law. His delight is being in the Word, part of the Word. You've heard preachers say this, your life is in here. Are you living it out? I'm in the Word. I'm not just learning about the Word. I'm in it. I don't know if you're picking that. I can't communicate it, what I'm talking about. I just can't. But I don't know how to communicate it, and that's my problem. But there's a difference. It's delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, it's not meditating about the Word. It's not meditating on the law. What does this mean? And that's good to do. What is God doing with this? But it's meditating about life. What is life? What are we doing about life? What are we doing about the ministry of reconciliation? And while we're doing that, we're doing it while we're in the law. You see the difference? Everything is wrapped. It is guided. It is directed. It is lit. Everything about life is lit up by the law, by the Word of God. It is what directs our path. It's not that I'm sitting around just thinking about intellectual things about God's Word, and that's all fine and dandy, and I'm not saying don't do that, but I delight when I'm in God's Word and I'm meditating day and night, allowing God's Word to illuminate what God has for me to do. Do you see the difference? It's not just, I can meditate on math problems all day. That doesn't really do much for me. Except, you know, whatever. But I can meditate about God's Word, and we should. And we can think about, were Genesis 6, were they really angels or not? We can meditate about that all day long. Or we can talk about Adam and Eve all day long. Or we can talk about creation all day long. Or we can talk about, whatever you want to put in there. When is the rapture going to happen? Or we got to figure that out. We don't know what the time or season or whatever, but I'm sure we can figure it out. You can think about that all day long. Okay, fine. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about doing life, doing ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, impacting other people's lives while we're meditating in God's Word, being in God's Word, allowing it to direct our mind in our path because we have to have a new way of thinking. So, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. It's not on, it's in. There's a difference. And so when we get there, and you may be there, and praise the Lord if you're there, because if you're there, we're over here. You're over here. And verse 3 talks about that, and we'll look at that next week. But man, it is so important. It is so important that we're bringing fruit. to the Father to glorify Him. Because if we're not, we're not doing what we're called to do. Our life is not accomplishing what God had in mind for it. Okay, so let's pray.